a podcast shedding light on how healing is an inside job. Keys to your inner power and total transformation. Discussing wholeness, wellness, and the effects of the mind on the physical and energetic parts of our being. Sacred knowledge that inspires us to look within, to find our own unique path. Release and rewire to become what you truly are, strong, whole, and empowered.
Welcome to the Empowered Mind, Empowered Health Podcast. For the conscious game changers, please like, share, and subscribe. Just be the wave. Today we have Diane Elms, an iridologist, homeopath, writer, and motorcycle enthusiast. Diane is author of Living on the Go, and her dream is to build a natural wellness center specializing in drugless cancer care. Welcome, Diane.
Thank you. So great to be here.
Yes, exciting. Diane, in 1995, you couldn't walk or even raise your arms to comb your hair.
Correct.
And you say faith is the most important thing to you. Healing and faith must be intimately connected or entwined.
Correct.
And I understand your first healing experience had a lot of synchronicities involved. So, yeah, just tell us your story.
Well, so back in 1995, I was a professional photographer, and I was lifting equipment out of my car and thought I just pinched a nerve or something. But it wasn't that. I went to my chiropractor, and it started tingling in my arms and then tingling in my legs. And he's like, nah, this is something much bigger than that. So 21 tests and specialists, so like to combination of the two, went to my last test was at McMaster. I had a muscle biopsy in my arm and in my leg. And they do your arm first, because if they did your leg first, you would never let them do your arm. It was not a pleasant experience. And you can't be under any anesthetic, because then it changes what your muscle fibers are like. So long story short, basically they told me there's nothing holding my muscle fibers together. And that's why I could not lift my arms and I could not lift my legs. Now you have to understand, I was 35 when this first began, very athletic, three children, you know, and they're looking at me like, what's happening to my mother, you know? And nobody can give me an answer. And that's very disturbing to not have an answer. Even more disturbing to have to wait for a test and, you know, and to have no answers, right? So after all of that, been told I was just going to have to learn to live with it, live with the pain, because it was painful. I was in pain all the time. And I would never be able to walk again. And I should just get used to a wheelchair. Well, no. No, was my answer. I just told myself that there's got to be an answer. If you don't have an answer, that's because you don't have an answer, but there has got to be an answer, right? So, you know, I'll explain that, but just so that people can get some encouragement when they're told things. And again, I think what's important is words, how you let words touch you. Okay. So just so people know, I am now 61 years old. And November 1st, I ran a marathon. It was a virtual marathon, but it was a marathon. And with two other friends. And I ran my first marathon last year, because that was my bucket list, 60 years old to run a marathon. So I ran two marathons last year at age 60 for the first time. That was the first time doing it. And I ran one. So my goal is every year to run a marathon. So because our bodies are incredible. Absolutely incredible. So going back, what did I do? So someone had told me about iridology, And, but the way they explained it to me was like, you're going to have a reading. Well, I have a belief in Jesus Christ as my personal savior. And that just didn't ring true for me. I'm going to go for a reading because that just seems psychic-y, right? And I'm not saying, you know, anything against that, but for me, that's not my truth. Okay. So it was explained to me in a manner that didn't make sense to me. And it was kind of like off for me. So, but then when I, you know, continued with no answers, it was like, okay, I'm going to go. And if it seems weird to me, and I'm pretty sensitive to feeling what's going on and people, how they are, I then thought, I'll just leave. If it's weird, it's too freaked out for me, I'll just leave, right? And but I went there and it just made too much sense. And so through some changes, and one of the things, and I thought about this morning when I was praying about, what should we talk about and what should come out? One of the things that I thought about was, she said to me, when you were 19 years old, you had a traumatic event, health challenge happen at 19 years old. And I was like, I don't remember that at all. And when I went home and I told my mom says, don't you remember you got food poisoning when you were 19 years old? You ended up in the hospital in ICU. You almost died. And like, how do you forget that? Right? How do you forget that? But it just wasn't there. I just didn't remember it at all. So one of the things was when, so I worked in a restaurant and we got our meals. Everybody else ate a full meal. I did not. I only had a little bit of the roast beef. And so I didn't eat enough of it to make me sick right away. Everybody else got sick like within hours. I didn't. And it sat in my body and I didn't start throwing up and have diarrhea until a day and a half later. And so then it was so bad by that time. I dehydrated. I had to go to the hospital. They tested me. I was parasitically involved. And so what happens with antibiotics is, so they gave me antibiotics, is it makes parasites go dormant. And I don't think people know that. And parasites are pretty common. Most people don't know that either, right? Mm-hmm. And so they were actually taking my nutrients. That was one of the things that happened. Sorry. When I get excited,
it's a good sign.
I can feel it in my throat.
It happens to me too.
Yeah. So I was in the hospital and then on antibiotics for months. So when I tested negative for the salmonella and parasites, that was the end of it, right? But I know now that then the parasites started to develop. And so they were actually taking my nutrients. That was one of them. As well, through iridology, I've studied it and then became a teacher that teaches in Canada, well, internationally. One of the things is we have an eye color and there's three different eye colors and we have four different eye structures. And so I actually was an eye structure called, I am an eye structure, that's called anxiety tetanic. So just throw that out there, anxiety tetanic, right? I'm kind of like an adrenaline type person, high energy. So I couldn't eat enough protein. I wasn't being able to absorb enough protein. So that was all part of it, right? So, but that was only the beginning of it, because one of the other things is, I would say 99.9% of the people that have what they call fibromyalgia, when they come to my office and I look in the iris of their eye, they're actually an anxiety tetanic structure type. So is it a disease or is this your predisposition, you know? So understanding that I needed that protein in my body and I couldn't absorb it, parasites were taking it. So I had nothing to rebuild my muscles with. It's kind of like a bank account, right? The more you take out, you got to put back in to replenish. And I couldn't do that, literally. So that was my answers. And it was pretty simple, right? But I'm going to tell you something. One of the things with fibromyalgia as well is that generally it takes a traumatic event to trigger what's been inside for a long time. And so through my journey of healing and faith, I had to deal with all levels, my mental, emotional state, my physical state, and my spiritual state, because we are all that in a body, right? So yeah, my journey went into all those areas. And one of the things that I've learned is that, and not that I'm anything special, because believe me, I am not. But one of the things that I've learned is that most people don't do the things they need to do to get well. And I just, my hope is that I can inspire people that it's not just a physical body. You're not just a physical body. You have to deal with your mental, emotional state. You have to deal with the trauma that's happened in your life. And when I say to people, you have to forgive those that have hurt you, and people say, I will never forgive them. And it's unfortunate, but then I tell them, then you're never going to heal. Because really, in reality, when you can't forgive somebody, and believe me, you know, I understand when people are hurt. I understand it. But when you can't forgive somebody, it really binds you. It doesn't bind the other person. It hurts you. Mentally, emotionally, and physically. And it wasn't until later, so I'm already in practice doing iridology, and it's like, okay, most people cannot get to that level. Some can, but some cannot, okay? So that's when homeopathy came into my life, is like, I have a counseling background, but in order to help people dive in and deal with those emotions, you know, that's hard. Most people don't want to relive that, right? I mean, you must hear it too, Jane, right? In practice. Yeah. So
that's why I became so passionate about homeopathy, is it includes the mental, emotional.
Exactly. So by it wasn't really something I wanted to do at 50 years old, go back to school for 3 years, 100,000 kilometers, and a whole lot of money to go back to school at 50, right? When I should be slowing down. But I knew that that was the answer. I could see it in the iris of the eye, what was going on with people and every organ that is affected. And I can see it in the iris of the eye. I already know that every organ that's affected holds emotion. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I already knew that this was their feeling. Right? But they have to bring that out. I can't tell them, right? And as you know, as a homeopath, we're unbiased and we let them bring it out. I just already know it's there. So, you know, we can get into it a little bit sooner. But it's just amazing. But for me, I had to forgive. And I had to forgive who I biologically thought was my father, who wasn't my father, and deceptions and lies and sexual abuse and all of that. And that's tough. And I get it. I get it, right? It's tough. But if you don't do it, you're the one that's held back. Really, virtually, that's what it comes down to. You're the one that's held back. So along my journey, I had always been drawn to church. And I want to explain something with that as we go along. I'd always been drawn to church as a kid. My family never went to church, but I was drawn to church. Vacation Bible school, singing in choirs when I was younger, and Sunday school and singing and worship. And that just touched me. And it's, again, not because it was brought to me through my family, because it wasn't. So that always touched me. And so I went to church. I've learned over time and through my experience being touched by the Holy Spirit, there's a big difference between going to church, being religious, and having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Huge difference. And so my journey, and I talk about it in my book, but my journey really was allowing myself to listen to the Holy Spirit guiding me, and literally listening. Literally, and when you tell people this, some people think you they should be calling the psych ward and bringing the white jacket to strap you up in. But it is, it's so real. And when you have that personal relationship and when you can listen, and in the Bible, it actually tells you that these are the gifts that we should all have. We should be able to have that personal relationship. And I get that so many people are hurt by people in the church, by people that call themselves religious or spiritual. So they are like, don't talk to me about this God stuff, right? And I get it. But it's so different than having that personal relationship is so different than humans. Humans and how humans act, right? Because we all fail. And the one thing that I guess has been the most powerful is the understanding of words themselves. And same thing, you know, in homeopathy, we hear a lot how one event in a person's life, even when they were a child, how that one event, those words stuck with them, and how those words changed their life, good, bad, or indifferent, and how those words still to this day have power over them. Right?
Yeah, words carry a vibration. And you, mm-hmm. when you're traumatized, you tend to repeat the words in your mind. So they mm-hmm. will eventually structurally change.
Exactly.
How your body is working.
Yeah, exactly. And, so I'm not sure. I just feel to share this one story. And I don't think it's really, you know, fits right in, but I really feel to share this one story right now. So forgive me if it doesn't fit a pattern. But I had this one patient who had breast cancer, and I really believe in my heart that she didn't need to have surgery. She didn't need to have chemo and radiation and all of that. I think that it was all overrated. It was to an extreme of what she had done, but you can't change. She came to my office, she had already had all that done. But the one thing that just goes through my mind over and over again is that she never felt supported by her mother. So her husband, I'm telling you, was the most supportive husband I have ever seen come to my office, but she couldn't see it. She could not see that her husband was supportive. Her mother-in-law, and most mother-in-laws, people, you know, aren't very supportive. Her mother-in-law was the most supportive mother-in-law I've ever heard of. And this is her telling me this, my patient telling me this, right? But all that mattered to her was that she didn't have the support from her mother, her own mother, right? Yeah. So no matter how much I tried and no matter what homeopathic I gave her, her mental emotional state overruled everything. So her family called me and said she was in the hospice. So I went to visit her. She was yellow from jaundice. Her skin was yellow. Her sclera was yellow. She wasn't long to live. And she laid in that bed and she said to me, and I prayed with her a couple of times and prayed for her for forgiveness. And you can't make people do things, right? It has to be that they want to. So she laid in that bed and she said to me, I am the most happiest I've ever been. And I looked at her and I go, why? And she said, because my mother has been with me ever since 24/7, since I came in the hospice. She was leaving behind two little girls and her husband. But that's what she needed. She needed those words and that comfort from her mother that she never got, that she never felt she got from a child. And that's how strong That is how strong our mental emotional state is. And that's why it's so important that we, in order to heal, have to understand words that have been said over us and how powerful they are, our mental emotional state, our physical state, and our spiritual state, where we're at. I think people can only come to a place of forgiveness when they get to that place spiritually connected inside. That's what I feel. So,
Yeah, when they're really ready to shift and have decided that they want to move beyond this and learn from
Yes.
That's now something you say in the book, we're constantly learning and changing and growing, and
yes,
just to see it that way is
yes. And I pray that I never am the same from one month to the next. I hope I always grow, right? I hope I'm always learning and growing. And because one of the things is, I think one of the most difficult things as a healthcare practitioner, natural healthcare practitioner, dealing with all those is helping people to understand they need to do all those things, right? Because I've already been there, I know. And there was a time when I didn't know. There was a time that I didn't know. There was a time that I didn't have a clue about the Holy Spirit guiding me, right? Even though the Holy Spirit's always been there for me. I couldn't hear that. I couldn't hear that. I didn't have the faith to follow my path by following, listening to the Holy Spirit and being guided by that. As well as, you know, everything else that goes along with it, just having that trust and being able to follow along that, right? I really try to help people get to that level. In all those areas for true healing, you know, because that's really what it's all about, is to have that peace within, right?
I find when this mental emotional program is healed, which it often starts in childhood, then people will say they're more connected to their own higher self, which means they're more connected to God or Christ, as you say.
Yeah. And most people, so when I talk about truths, we have truths. We have truths that we believe are true. Right? And I use an expression in my book, and I know some people have said they don't like that expression, but I use an expression in my book that says the ignorant don't know they're ignorant because they just don't know. I'm not trying to put things somebody down, but the word ignorant means you're lacking information. Mm-hmm. Right? So I was ignorant. I'm still ignorant of other information that's out there. And that's a reality, right? So, but there's like your truths of what you grew up with, you thought this was true, you thought that was true, or somebody told you this. But then there's your own truths, and then there's just truth that you cannot deny. And that's where you're ignorant when you don't even know that they're out there. I don't know why this came to my head, but one of the truths that's out there is Herring's Law. Right? We heal from the top down, inside out, oldest or newest to oldest. And that's what happens in homeopathy, right? When they say, oh, I haven't had this happen to me in years. And you go, yes, the remedy, the homeopathic medicine's working. It's getting to you at a very deep core picture, right? But one of the things in my book, I talk about this guy telling me, this stranger coming out to me and saying, oh my goodness, I had a dream about you. And, you know, When you're 37-ish, you know, 35, 36, 37-ish, and some guy comes up to you and says, oh, I had a dream about you. First thing in your mind is, yeah, right, buddy. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard for a hit on someone. And then, but he had this look on his face. He was like, no, I truly had a dream about you. You have exactly on, and I'm supposed to tell you something. God gave me this dream to, you know, this word to tell you. And he's like shaking. And he says, I can't remember what I was supposed to tell you. And so later on he remembers and he comes and he tells me. And so he tells me that I'm supposed to go to this church in Toronto, and I never heard the church before. And then I'm like, nope, never heard about it. And I did look it up, and it was too weird for me because it was out of my comfort zone. There was freedom. There was freedom. Like, people were free to worship and sing and dance and flag and just be free worshiping God. And I'd never witnessed that before. Because, you know, churches I went to, it started at this time, this was the agenda, and you finished at this time, and there was no listening to the Holy Spirit and being led by the Holy Spirit, right?
Well, so, yeah. And like that, like you were saying, so many have been hurt by the church, and it's that control and need to control,
yes,
that has caused,
yes,
that's what you're saying, this is a whole new experience.
Mm-hmm. And so it was too weird for me. It was like so far out of my comfort zone. It was like, okay, I don't think so. But, okay, and I know people are going to think I'm crazy, but that's not the worst thing anybody has said about me.
Carry on.
So every time I turned the TV on, and I turned the TV on, and there was a commercial for that church. And I'm like, okay, I've never seen a commercial about this church before. And now there's a commercial. So, you know, big brave Diane talks to her 8-year-old daughter at the time. And I beg her to come with me because nobody else would believe me, right? So I beg her to come with me. So we go, and this preacher's up at the front, and he says, you know, on Wednesday nights, we don't do healings, but I feel the Holy Spirit's telling me that we need to do a healing. There's somebody here, arms and legs, and, you know, my story. And I just sat there. My daughter's going, Mom, that's you. You got to go forward. I go, I am not going forward. This church is weird, and people are falling down in the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, no way, Jose.
You were thinking it was a hoax, right? Like, you were like,
exactly,
totally.
I kept thinking there's magnets in the floor. There's fans blowing these people over. Like, this is the weirdest thing I've ever seen. I'm getting ready to leave. The guy calls it again. I think he had to call a third time. And Karina, my daughter, finally says, would you just, this is you. You drug me here. Get up there, right? So yeah. I start walking up the aisle, and it's a long aisle because this isn't a conventional church. This is like a big, warehouse that they've redone, right? It's huge inside. So I start walking out to the front. My arms are crossed with the most negative look on my face, saying, and I'm telling myself, I am not going down. I am not hitting the floor. This is ridiculous. I'm going to show them wrong. I didn't even get to the front. Nobody even touched me or laid hands on me, and I was done on the floor. And that's another thing. You go like, okay, I just went from a standing position, falling straight back, and I didn't hurt myself. Mm-hmm. I didn't bang my head, right? You go down in the Holy Spirit.
Do you remember any of it, Diane? Do you remember, like,
absolutely,
1 second to the next, like, even like,
oh,
going,
yeah,
backward? Yeah,
absolutely. What I remember the whole, like, thing. I was taken over. It just felt like somebody was laying me down. Like, and I could hear everything. I could hear people around me, but I had no control of my physical body. And what's interesting is, from that point on, my spiritual journey went from, you know, excavated. Like, I know you can't see, we're talking, it's a audio, you can't see my hands, but it went from like zooming, like, you know, you're taking off on a plane, right? It just went like from on the ground to in the sky instantly. Like, my spiritual journey, my spiritual education. And I can remember my husband was standing next to me. So I felt we needed to find another church because obviously now I'm listening to the Holy Spirit. It says in the Bible what we should be moving in and our gifts, and this should be happening. But the churches we went to, they never even talked about that kind of stuff. Like, it just was not part of anything they did. But there it is. It's in the Bible. We're supposed to have all these gifts and all of that, but it never happened, right? It wasn't being talked about. So we had to find another
individual
church.
Has their own unique gifts to offer to this.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So we went to this other church, and so I started to really grow And the very first time I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, you have to give a prophetic word. And I literally started shaking from the top of my head to my toes. My husband's standing next to me. He's like, what's going on with you? And I go, I have to go over to Pastor Roy. I have to tell him that I have a prophetic word. And so my husband grabbed me by the shoulders and kind of like shuffled me over the aisle and over to the pastor who was over at the side because worship was going on. And I said, I have to give a prophetic word. He goes, what's the prophetic word? I said, I don't know, because I don't even know what a prophetic word is. So, right? I'm like, how do these words come out of me? Like, I don't even know what a prophetic word is. And now I feel like I have to give you a prophetic word. You know what I mean? So he just kind of helped me to the front of the stage and out came this word. And I knew that it was not from me. So, you know, it just came out. And then he shared that what a prophetic word was to educate other people that were new, because he told them, I didn't even know what a prophetic word was. And then he confirmed the word. He said in our meetings with our elders from the church, we had just discussed this and we were asking for an answer. And Diane just gave the answer. That's God. Right? And so other people could confirm it. And I'm like, okay. And I can remember another time I was at a meeting. And
do you remember the word, Diane?
No, I don't. I could probably go to my journal because I journal everything, but off the top of my head, I don't.
But the point of the story is that they were looking for an answer. And with that one,
yes,
word, you gave them the answer. Yeah.
Right. And so I learned something from that, though. Is I write the words down. I write them. Many people give a prophetic word, but they just give it, right? I do not. I listen, I write the word down word for word, because a and a but and a we and a she, they can make a difference. Words make a difference, right? I don't want to screw up on any of those words. So I write it down. So I did learn from that experience that I need to write those things down, right? So another cool time, I'm at a meeting and I go up to the people that hosted the meeting and I said, that couple over there, I don't know them, but I feel that the Lord's given me a word for them. I feel I need to tell them that they need to go ahead and buy the land that they're praying about. I said, but I don't know them. They don't know me. So why would they take anything I say as serious, right? So the host took me over, introduced me to them, and he said, she has a word for you. So I gave them a word. They both started crying because they were praying that morning. They were praying about buying a piece of land. They were praying that morning. They felt the Holy Spirit told them to come to the meeting and they would get an answer.
Oh.
Right? So from that, I've learned to trust when I hear from the Holy Spirit. Now, in the beginning, literally when the Holy Spirit was telling me something, a word to give, I would shake, like shake, uncontrollably shake. Okay. So it was kind of like the weakness that I had in my physical body, not being able to move. That's what the Lord used, right? Because I could not move. I couldn't lift my arms. I couldn't move when I was in that state, when the Holy Spirit was getting a hold of me, because that was my weakness, right? That's what I went through. My weakness, right? So when I think if we allow our weaknesses to not fight them, if we allow that we're human to have weaknesses, you know, we grow from that instead of always pretending, right? And I absolutely know that we all have a weakness. We all have thoughts that go through our mind every now and then, some more than other, you know, beating us up, replaying a message, right? But that's where I find homeopathy really helps people. I believe everybody should be on a constitutional remedy. Everybody. But I believe that that's where people, once they've learned and they've been empowered, right, within themselves to know that those words can't hurt them, that they have self-confidence within themselves, and that they've healed, right? We still go through things, right? I still have things that are trigger points every now and then, right? But my reaction is not the same, and I don't deal with it. I don't have to go through it as long as I did when I was younger, right? And that's what it's all about. It's about no longer being naive. It's about no longer being ignorant, right? Because there's truths out there. And yeah, I still don't got them all. But that's the journey, right? Yeah. That's the journey. It's like, yeah, I don't have it all figured out, but every day I try to listen and have more faith. And faith, big for me, because I know the Lord gave me a vision of the Phoenix Rising Center. And it has been a long time. And it hasn't formulated here on the earth as of yet. But I know it will. Because, again, a couple of things that the Lord had told me, the Holy Spirit had told me, I've been called out of an audience. And a prophetic person stood at the front and said, is there a Diane here? Yeah. And he gave me a word that confirmed about that I would help people through integrative medicine, that I would work with hard cases that people throw in the corner and say, and over-medicate them and say, there's no help for them. I've had words confirming. So I know that it's not just from my mind. I know that this will come to be. And I know you and I talked about this before we got online. And I know that this isn't going to broadcast until after Christmas. But today, I think it's important to say what today is, right? Yeah. So today is Monday, December the 21st. So for some people, they understand. So for me, from my faith background, today the two planets are supposed to align. And tonight, the star Bethlehem is supposed to be shone. Now, I hope it's kind of overcast out there. So I hope that we can still see it, right? But that was supposed to happen today. It happened 800 years ago. It's not going to happen for another 800 years. And with everything that's going on in 2020, and when you understand the star Bethlehem led the wise men to Jesus, right? And that was the sign that was supposed to be there for the Messiah coming. Like, I get excited. Like, I've got goosebumps right now. Like, literally, I have goosebumps. And I'm overwhelmed to know that what is coming. And we don't need to be afraid of it. And I think during 2020, and so I cry when I'm happy. I cry when I'm sad. I say grace and I cry.
Well, when something really resonates too, right? It really touches.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So today is a day when there's aligned, everything is aligned and there's this incredible energy.
Yes. And with that, so as a Christian, there's many prophetic words that just like when Jesus came, the star led them to the Messiah. You know, we have that opportunity now also to understand that there's this aligning, if you want to call it that, awakening to Jesus Christ as our Messiah from my faith background, right? So, and understanding the hope that we have in this. And I think throughout 2020, people have lost hope. I think 2020 has beat a lot of people up. And we need to really have our faith and have our strength and have our own power. And I think that it's like incredible. Yeah. So I actually rearranged all my patients. And so I'm going to be working later, because I actually blocked off that time so I can be outside tonight. So after, as the sunset and the moon's coming up for 45 minutes. It's supposed to be in that time frame. So yeah, so I move my patients around because I think it's important. So yeah, you got to do those. Yeah, what's important to you, right?
Right. And I just think your message is so important. I think we need to balance. We've become very, we worship science instead of worshiping, well, we not worshiping, but just understanding that there is, like, we are powerful and connected to something much greater. We come with this state of amnesia, but to grow back and to reconnect with it is the adventure. And I think that today symbolizes the fact that we can do that. And if we wish it, it'll become easier.
Mm-hmm. I know we had talked about this prior, but I had talked a lot about words. And one of the things was, I know this because from my perspective and biblically, God spoke creation. God spoke the words and it happened, right? So what I've been doing is I've actually been calling forth what is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So again, from my Christian perspective, my believing in Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, we all have, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And what we were supposed to accomplish on this earth. So for me, I've been literally calling that forward, calling it forward. Lord, I'm calling forth what you have written in the Lamb's Book of Life. What is my destiny? I'm calling it forward and I'm prophesying it, you know, to be done. And I told you that when I started doing that, because why didn't I do it before? I don't know. But, you know, when it kind of comes to you and you go, oh, yeah, why didn't I ever do that before, right? So when I started doing it, it was like, oh my goodness, patients just started, like, because everything slowed down, you know, coronavirus and you can't do this, you can't do that. And so everything did really slow down. But then I started, literally 2 days after I started saying, I'm calling forth what you have written for me in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because so the word says in the Bible, it says that we will have the desires of our heart if they're focused on what God's plans are for our life, right? So his plans are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So I can't be any more clear than that. So calling that forth, and then it's like, you know, been busier and busier. And in fact, I am going to, I'm not a big fundraiser. And, but I am actually going to, buy a program that actually helps with fundraising. And I actually made that decision today and signed the paperwork, to do that. And I just believe that as new things and the Messiah and Star Bethlehem and everything is all aligning, that it's the right time to start to do fundraising for the Phoenix Rising Center. And, to bring that full vision into vision. And people can go on the website and read what the vision is. So it's Phoenix Rising Center, and center is spelled CENTER.ca. And so they can read the whole vision. And because I think that everything has its timing. And I absolutely believe that this is the timing for the Phoenix Rising Center. I think more people are, I just think it's the right time.
Yeah. Well, it's perfect, isn't it? Because what you believe is that people can heal from within.
Yes.
Mind, body, and soul. And
yes. So
it feels like we're moving more into that alignment, or those that mm-hmm. want to, it'll become.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's wonderful.
Yeah. And
I think what you were saying, as you're moving into who you fully are, is that when we come here, there is a plan for each of us. And mm-hmm. all we have to do is ask to become more of that.
Right. Yeah. So, and fulfill that destiny. Yeah.
Yeah. Which can be very empowering. And, mm-hmm. you know, we all come in thinking we're just one person. What can we do? There's nothing, you know, what can I do? I'm just, you know, Jane, you're just Diane,
yes.
right? Mm-hmm. And yeah. I feel too that that's been covered up. But we're immensely powerful beings, and
we are. And I think over time and things that have been said so like the Phoenix Rising Center is so big and so much money. Sometimes I think go, well, how can this ever happen? I limit myself, right? Mm-hmm. Where God has no limitations. Right? So I limit myself, and I think we need to get out of that, out of limiting, because I do believe in miracles. I've seen people miraculously healed. So I've prayed for people and seen them miraculously healed. Right? So I know that miracles happen. And yeah, it just takes, one phone call, maybe one interview, maybe one podcast. Who knows, right? And then the right people hear it and it resonates with other people. They feel it's important. They have the contacts and it happens. It just happens. Yeah. Yeah.
So Diane, you're very passionate about drugless cancer care as well. That's become something that you talk a lot about. Is that part of this healing center?
Yes, it is. So it's everything. So nobody, I already run as a nonprofit organization as it is. So whoever comes, they have to pay for the products, like they have to pay for their homeopathic or liposomal encapsulated vitamin C, whatever they're getting. But time-wise, it's a donation. So some people can afford more, so they give more, and which allows other people who can't, right? Mm. So it is geared to, I have experience. So I got to say experience because I've been told I can't say I specialize. Did you know that specializing is a medical term? No, but I've been told I can't say it. So
the kinds of things we can't say.
Yeah. So I have experience in drugless cancer care. And again, I got to tell you, the most people that heal the best are the ones that deal with the mental emotional state. Mm-hmm. I had a lady, and it's on the website. You can go on. You can see the couple. They did a video. She had chemo. She had stem cell transplant. She went to Mexico and had treatments, and her cancer kept coming back. And it was through homeopathic medicine. Yep. And I was frank with her. I felt the Holy Spirit told me something. I shared it with her. She said, "You're absolutely right. I need to deal with this. I need to talk to my husband first." Started and got her on the right homeopathic medicine that now matched her state. Mm-hmm. And I think it was 3 months later, her blood work was normal for the first time in 5 years. Don't quote me on exactly the numbers because I don't have it in front of me, but they talk about it on there. And not only that, but if you have a stem cell transplant, they tell you, you can't have children. You will never have children. Not only did she heal, okay, but she had a baby girl.
Yeah.
So you can heal, right? Yeah. And when people go to a doctor and they're told they have cancer, and then they keep repeating, "I have cancer, I have cancer, I have cancer." Stop saying you have cancer. Right?
I'm thinking how long?
You're pronouncing those words over you.
Yeah, yeah, right? Yeah.
So that's why words are important and powerful.
Yeah.
Right?
And so why did the cancer develop? What is the trauma behind it? Why is
exactly.
it here? This right, heal all of that, and your body will heal.
Exactly, yep, exactly. And that's why you have to heal on all those levels. And my prayer and hope for people is that they understand, and they don't buy into. So one of the things that was profound for me is after I started healing way back, 1995, 1997, 98. I did a 5K run. And when I took that 5K badge medal off and I laid it on the seat of our truck, I took it off and I said to myself out loud, what if I had bought into them telling me I would never walk again. What if I bought into that? See, I didn't. When they told me that, I said, no way. I am not buying into that. I will walk again. I am stubborn, and I'm glad I'm stubborn. But I took that medal off, and I took that name or my number off, and I laid it on the truck of the seat, or the seat of the truck. And I said, what if I had bought into, I would never walk again. And I just did a 5K. Okay. And I'm 61. And a month ago, I did a marathon.
Yeah. They had told you you'd be in a wheelchair.
And I'd be in pain and never walk again.
Because of your willingness and openness. And here you are doing a marathon.
Exactly.
So just to remind everyone, so you healed through iridology, which would be
was what my evaluation tool.
Evaluation. And then you healed your soul by being more connected in this experience that you had that was
with God. And I continue to have. Yeah. Absolutely. Continue to grow in that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I would love to know more about that. But then, and then the mental, emotional, you healed with homeopathy?
No, I didn't have homeopathy then.
Okay.
So it took a lot of work.
Oh, right.
That's a lot of work.
That's right. You did the counseling and you understood all of that, but you realized how much work it was. And homeopathy is a bit of a shortcut because the remedy helps.
So when I say counseling, I actually read a lot of books and then I took a counseling course to teach other people so that I could counsel other people. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I took a Christian counseling course so I could help other people. But when I was saying at one point through here, I said, most people won't do the work that I did. Most people won't do like 9 months of a candida food plan. But you know what? People will say, I can't do that because first they said 3 months. Then they said, well, there could be still a little bit less, my iridologist. So maybe you should go 6 months. And I said, is there any possibility of this coming back? And they said, well, not likely. You've gone 6 months doing this. I said, well, then I'm going to do another 3 months. And I did 9 months of a candida food cleanse, right? Because my mind said, okay, I can do this for 9 months, but then I have the rest of my life to live in good health. Yeah. Whereas some other people go, I can't do this for 3 months, right? It's an inconvenience to do this for 3 months. Well, is it an inconvenience that you can't walk? And that's the way you're going to be for the rest of your life. And sometimes, see, so I also now, and have been for a while, an ordained minister for various reasons. It really was so that we could get our charitable status for the Phoenix Rising Center, Christian charitable status to do what we do. Because if not, you know what? I could be shut down. Mm-hmm. Because unfortunately, we have some really bizarre laws about cancer. And we need to do another podcast about that because I could go on and on about all that and the Cancer Act and logistics and all of that kind of stuff. But so I am an ordained minister now. And for that reason, and you know, I pray with people. So where was I going when I changed the topic? I forgot what I was going to say.
Well, the reason that you need to become an ordained minister was so that you could.
Was for the.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But, the logistics of.
But
the
becoming that must have helped a lot in other ways as well.
Exactly. Exactly. In the whole picture. Right. But and again, when people say, oh, you're religious. No, I am not religious because I don't believe in rules and regulations. I believe in having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I believe in the Bible. I don't believe in parts of the Bible. I believe in the Bible. Do I like everything that's written in the Bible? No, I don't like everything that's written in the Bible. Right. But you can't say if it's inspired by God through prophetic people, and I understand that because that's what's happened with me, then I have to trust it, right? I may not like it. I may not like everything that's written in it, but I have to trust it because I believe God knows way more than I do. And he has the bigger picture in mind, right? So I am not religious. I'm very much spiritually connected. with Jesus Christ as my personal savior and listening to the Holy Spirit. And believe me, I've had to do some weird things. Most people wouldn't do. And most people, so with that, you know, the whole thing, that's what I was saying. The whole thing is most people won't do. And I'm sure you've sat with people and they've, and when I've said you need to drink more water, and I've had people say, I don't like water. And I go, really? Like, I don't care if you don't like water, right? Oh, I know where I was going with. So I am an ordained minister, but I could never pastor a church because somebody could say something to me once, like, you know, like complaining about something or, you know, needing guidance about something. And they could even come, you know, ask twice. And if they didn't do anything between the first and the second time, I'd have to slap them up the side of the head the third time. So I could never be a pastor in a church because, right? Because even with my own patients, like they come once and I say, okay, these are changes you should make. And they come back for a follow-up and they haven't made some changes. That's fine. You can't do everything all at once. But a couple of years later, when they're coming back and something's reoccurred or whatever, and I'll go, okay, did you do this? Did you do that? And they go, no, I don't really like that. Or I can't do that. I go, okay, then why are you paying me? Why are you here? You know, if you just want to sit and have a chit chat, that's great. But you know what? Why are you paying me? And most people I have found, and what I believe is that most people don't feel they're important enough to do all the work.
Yes. They don't think they're significant enough to for it to matter. Yeah.
Exactly. And it drives me insane. And I know you're an animal person, so don't take this the wrong way. But it drives me insane when people will say they have animals and they spend all this money to go to the vet, but they won't spend it on themselves. Yeah. I have a problem with that. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
You know, you have to look after you. And I believe the only reason that people don't go to the depths is because they don't feel worthy.
Yeah. And because they don't value the reason that they're here is so profoundly important. They haven't discovered it yet. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's so important to be healthy and connected.
Yep. Because we are all, as it says in the Bible, we are all hands and feet. And so what one person does, somebody else, it, you know, it affects them and it affects them. And we all have an effect on other people. And we need everybody. We need everybody. Everybody's important. And we all need each other.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyone out there listening, heal yourself because it matters.
It does. It really does. Yeah.
To the bigger picture, to all of us.
It does.
So Diane, because this is the 21st of December and the Star of Bethlehem is aligning as we speak or is aligned, what does it mean to you? What does Christ energy mean to you?
Everything.
How do you feel it, connect to it? Just describe what your experience has been.
So for me, I try to, and I would be a hypocrite if I said every day I have devotionals, meaning I take that time with God, right? But I would say that 95% of the time, every day I do. My real thing is when I'm praying in tongues. And again, that's something that is in the Bible, speaking in your prayer language that is not taught out there. And I think that is a big mistake because it says that we're supposed to be able to do that. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down, they all spoke in tongues, and that's how I connect. So when I'm praying in tongues, that's usually when I get profound Holy Spirit guidance, is when I'm in my prayer language and I'm in that space, and it doesn't take long, and I can do it throughout the whole day if I feel I need to, right? If I feel someone is in my office and they don't have the right intent in their heart, I generally can feel that. It says scripturally, put on the full armor of God. I do that every morning. I can feel that. And, you know, to protect myself from other people and their wrong intentions. And there are wrong intentional spirits out there. So we need to be aware of all of that and have that knowledge. It's true, right? And so speaking in tongues, praying in tongues is my big thing. For me, worship.
What does in tongues mean for someone that doesn't know?
So on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down and they all spoke the same language. And then all of a sudden they all started speaking their own, a different language. And so your speaking in tongues or your prayer language is my prayer language with God, directly with God. So, and anybody that knows me, I've tried to speak French. I've tried to speak Spanish. I don't even do well at English. Learning a new language is not an optimal thing for me. And so my prayer language, again, I was at a conference. I was already baptized in water. I was baptized in the, and they said, who wants to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? I was like, okay, I don't know what it is. Again, no idea what that is. Been to church, still don't know what that is, right? But I stood up and they just said, start praying in tongues. And I had this guy, my eyes were closed, walked in front of me, and he says, just start praying. He goes, you've got it. It's all over you. And out came this language. And yeah, I'm going to start crying.
Yeah. So it's another language, but you understand it intuitively.
So yes, intuitively I understand, but again, that's taken me time. Okay. I've had to really intent, you know, focus on, okay, Lord, when I pray to you, when I'm praying in tongues, it's my spirit praying to God. So it's my heartfelt, right? Not my mind. It's my spirit that is praying to God.
Resides in your heart.
Exactly, in my spirit. So it's my spiritual language. It's my spirit praying to God, knowing what I need to pray. Because sometimes, literally, if I'm in a state, if I'm upset, my intentions or my emotions will take over and I'll pray, Lord, I don't know how to pray, so I'm going to pray in tongues, because then I know the Holy Spirit is praying, helping me pray, and my prayers will be perfect unto you. And it's not me and my hurt, broken, angry, whatever state I'm in, right? Praying. And I'm not losing it on that. I want my prayers to be powerful, so I'm going to pray in tongues. Yeah. But I have over time been able to understand what my prayers are. Yeah. When I pray in tongues. Yeah. Right. And it's in the Bible.
Yeah. But it's your soul or higher self that is much more knowing than our physical that is able
Correct.
To do this. It's yeah. Right. So amazing. And two, I think that one of the reasons we don't allow ourselves to heal is, and why we get so fearful, is that we feel we're cut off or we're alone or we're insignificant. So, mm-hmm.
And so, none of that is true. None of those statements are true, right? But yeah. We have to understand that. We have to, and believe me, I mean, I went through abandonment of my biological father and then who I thought my biological father was. So I had my issues too, you know? So, we all do to one degree or another.
Yeah. Yeah. As humans, it's a rough ride, and to be able to come back to it it takes work.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, but it's worth it, because then you become, you're on the journey to be the best of you, I guess is a good way to say it, right?
And when you've done it, even through it.
Or to be all of you, to be all of you, right? To get to the part that you are all of you fulfilled to who you're supposed to be, that God created you to be. But we have to heal and we have to be whole. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's the journey back to that, the human experience.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, what a perfect, amazing conversation to be having on this day.
On this day. Yes. Yes. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Do you have any final truths or nuggets that you would like to leave with people?
I think that what just came to my heart is that I pray that everybody gets healed and becomes all that God created them to be. Because then what a perfect world it would be, right? In reality, if we all were doing what God called us to do, like, amazing. And in scripture, it actually does say that we will do greater things than he did while he walked this earth. And we will do those when we get to the point where we can all be the hands and feet of God. Yeah.
Yeah. And the problems of this planet would be solved. Uh-huh. Live harmoniously and creatively. Yeah.
Prayerfully. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And Jesus walked this earth with this connection to God, right?
He was exactly.
He was telling us to do that.
Exactly. To be the hands and his hands and feet. That's what we're there for. And that's why he gave us the Holy Spirit, right? Is to be our helper. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Incredible. Dan, how do people find you if they wanted to reach out and help you or come for help?
So Phoenix Rising Center, they can go online. So it is Phoenix Rising Center, CENTER.ca. You can send me an email. And the number for the office is 905-768-0848. We're in Hagersville. That's just off of number 6 highway between Caledonia and Port Dover. For those motorcycle enthusiasts that go to Friday the 13th.
So. Right. Yes, you have that wonderful love of motorcycle enthusiasm, yeah. Which is really fun too. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, the freedom in it is incredible, isn't it?
It is, yes. I love it. It's been, I've liked bikes, motorcycles since I've been a teenager. So, yeah. Uh-huh.
I find the feeling of being on one is like flying. But
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, thank you so much, Diane.
And thank you. Thank you for doing this. Yeah.
And for everyone out there, don't forget, do not give your power away to anyone else. Just go be you and be the wave.
Amen.